Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
This is Jeff Lindsay.
This is Michael Pitt.
Hey, everybody, it's John Dudley from Knock On TV.
Hey, guys, this is Jared Scheffler from Whitetail Adrenaline.
Hi, I'm Taylor Drury from Drury Outdoors.
Hey, this is Nick Munt from Bow Collector.
Hey, this is Melissa Buckman.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
You're listening to the Working Class Bow Hunter. That's right. This is a podcast for Billy Joe Lunchbucket, the working man, just like me and you. My name's Travis T. Bone Turner from The Bone Collector. Thank you for tuning in.
Really, really not that good.
It is time once again for a ravishing episode of the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast, number 184. Good Lord, we're 184 episodes in.
Mm-hmm.
We're at 1600 Buckslayer Place, right in the Buckatorium, where Kurt is acting childish. See? What was I saying? Kurt is acting childish, and he's got control of the soundboard. 1600 Buckslayer Place, right in the Buckatorium. We do need some milk and cookies.
Oh, man.
But I am Steve. Kurt.
Kurt is here as always.
Yep, and Eric here.
What's up, guys?
Not much, man. Another wonderful day.
It is freezing cold.
It ain't that bad yet.
Dude, it was like 65 2 days ago, and it is like 19 degrees.
This weekend's going to be fun for him.
Oh, yeah. Well, dude, I saw some does in a field I've never seen them in before.
Friday, it's like a high 19 with snow.
You know what? I don't care because
it's going to be awesome.
It can get as cold as it wants to. Because we're very thankful for our listener.
Yes.
That sent out, and this is going to lead us into our vet shout out that we're going to get to right now.
Yeah, dude. Big shout out to D-Rock, Whitetail Slaya, Derek Clark. Dude, he hooked us up with some heated jackets, and they are
awesome. I took mine off just now because I had it on high, and I was sweating, but it's got like a high, medium, and low, and it's got a hand warmer setting. I'm going to have this baby on underneath my harness and my outer layer jacket.
Yeah, and he's the only guy who sent us a Christmas card, you heathens. No one else has sent us a Christmas card, but
he did. Pretty nice.
Did you see that? There's
did
Rudolph
the
in there.
You see the front of it with the little bow hunter in the tree?
There's Rudolph, and he's got this.
It's badass.
We'll have to post a picture of it. It's awesome, but...
lead that into the vet shout-out, will you?
We do, because that leads into the vet shout-out. It's actually his brother, Damian Clark. He's in the Army. He's from Nebraska. He's a... Damian Clark. I didn't mean to screw that up, but he entered here as a cavalry scout, and he finished as a staff sergeant. So, Staff Sergeant Damian Clark, thank you for your service to this country. You know, we couldn't do this podcast without all the hard work that you and all other military vets and current serving people put mm-hmm. in. And it kind of blows us away that, you know, so many people listen. They're like, hey, you know, sometimes we'll shout out a vet and they're like, dude, that means the world to me. But it's like, dude, you guys don't know what you mean to us. But, so,
yeah, we really appreciate everyone that's served in the military. So thank you for your service. And you allow us to say the dumb shit we say on our podcast every week. So we appreciate the hell out of you, my friend.
Yep. Yeah, and man, if you guys ever got any vets you want us to shout out or any causes that we can help out, shit, we'll do it any way we can. We love our vets, especially you, Damian Clark.
Thank you, thank you. This episode is brought to you by Scent Crusher. Scent Crusher allows you to get to where you can use the product that we're about to talk about on this podcast. Scent Crusher leads you to success from not stinking like the smelling working class person that you are. You know you are.
You stink.
Get Scent Crusher.
It's all right.
You won't stink because you know you are stinky.
It's the building blocks. Hey, you stink. Just you got to act like, just admit it. It stinks. You stink. But we can... Scent Crusher will handle that.
No big deal. I like the little accent you put in there.
Yar.
Well, you stink.
Yar.
You stink.
Are you Southern or are you a pirate?
Yes.
Southern pirate.
So, I mean, it's just one of those things. You don't have time to wash your camo all the time. You can't do it. You put it in your gear bag. You hit the ozone button.
Yep.
Run that unit. Maybe you need a 30-minute cycle. Maybe you're extra stinky. Maybe you need two 30-minute cycles. Steve, I don't know.
Probably. But
a lot of times, a 10-minute run will do the job just fine if you stay up on it. I hang a lot of stands, so I come in, give myself a 30-minute cycle. I'm fresh and ready to rock.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, hey, speaking of cycles, best draw cycle on the planet, Elite Archery, Elite Bows. Dude, the Option 6, smooth as butter.
Yeah, Option 7's better.
I like the tempo, so I mean, I don't know.
You should have just agreed with one of us. Check out EliteArchery.com. They've got three new target bows, the Echelon 37, 39, Victory X, which is an update of the Victory, and I hear there's hunting bows.
Right around the corner.
So
about a month away. About a month away. ATA show. Looking forward to it.
Just one. 1 month away. Speaking of one, single pin.
One pin, single pin.
What you got, Kurt? What do you know about a single pin?
I love my HHA. I put that picture up on our Instagram and Facebook the other day of my HHA on top of the dough. Center punch. There's so many questions about HHA, and the only thing I can say all the time is the single pin is worth the try, especially if you're wanting to shoot further distances. It clears that sight picture up. It really simplifies your aiming. And if you've ever had to count down through your pins to find the one you need, if you're shooting 40 or 50 or whatever, this eliminates that. It's easy. You sight it at 20 or and 40 or 20 and 60, depending on what method you want to use. I've literally was sighted in with my new arrow setup in 30 minutes, right in that ballpark.
And definitely worth it.
Yeah, and lifetime warranty, made in America. They support our veterans as well. Check them out.
Speaking of made in America, you want your meat made in America and processed by an American processor in Viola, Illinois? Smith's Custom Meats and Deer Processing is going to be your go-to.
That's right.
Scott is American, as far as I know. I haven't pulled his papers, but he is.
He claims to be.
I think I've eaten deer meat every day since I got my deer back.
The deer I've shot was born in America, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. I'd hope so.
Yeah, I think mine was too, so we're doing good there.
So we're going to give this 100% made in America.
Mm-hmm.
Smith's Custom Meats and Deer Processing.
Yep. Makes sense.
Beautiful Viola, Illinois. Viola, Illinois in America. Just the list goes on. But check them out, Smith's Custom Meats and Deer Processing.com. He's also on Facebook.
We only associate with American things, a.k.a. all the recording equipment we're using.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on. Thanks to all our sponsors that make all this possible. And you guys make all this possible because you listen. And that's the reason why we have sponsors, to help us help you listen.
If you really want to help out, pull your checkbooks out. Actually, don't use PayPal. Go to workingclassbowhunter.com. Check out that shop. We've got some goodies that we just keep rolling out. You know, you think you order some stuff and they're like, man, I better go check my cart. Oh, there's something else new on the store. Better get it.
Yeah, yep. We all know that guy who doesn't have any luck hunting. All of our stuff is blessed by Steve himself with luck. Steve personally goes through and kisses every piece of merch we have in our store.
I do, and I get really sweaty, so the tip of my nose gets greasy, and I put it on each bill of a hat.
He doesn't touch anything in the store before it ships out. Nothing. That's all Eric's blessing.
Just decline sales. You just let
out of the three of us, Eric has killed the biggest buck this year, and Eric touches everything. He packages it and ships it, so you get luck in that box of air.
With these hands right here.
So breathe that in when you open them up.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. You
check out workingclassbowhunter.com. On to the episode. We had Nick Kaiser. It's not Kisser. Nick Kaiser on the episode from Full Range Hanging Systems. Really cool product. We have it in the studio right now. We discussed it in this episode. I don't think I need to say anything else. Hope you guys enjoy. Check these things out. Full Range Hanging Systems. Give it a Google. Check them all out. You'll love it.
Give it a Google.
Hope you enjoy.
The phone with us, we have all the way from Flare Country. We got Nick Kaiser from Full Range Hanging Systems on the line. Hey, Nick, what's going on?
Flare Country, that's awesome.
You're old North Carolina. I think Petey Pablo made that state famous, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, possibly. I've never heard of him. So
we'll send you the YouTube link. He's from North Carolina and took his shirt off and spun it like a helicopter. But that is not the important part. The important part is you're here with us, and man, you've got a really, really cool product that we're going to talk about. Me and Kurt had the pleasure of hanging it up, so why don't you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about what Full Range Hanging Systems is.
Yeah, okay. So, Nick Kaiser, Full Range Hanging Systems. Thank you guys for having me. This is pretty cool. I had an idea several years ago about a better way to display your shoulder mount, deer, and kind of had this flashback of what it takes to, kill a nice deer that you want to mount, and a lot of money into it, a lot of time, and he's just hanging flat on the wall. And I thought, man, there's got to be a better way. So that's kind of where it started, and made some prototypes and finally settled in on a pretty simple, easy to use product, I think. And
well, it definitely is awesome. Like, we had one hanging up in here, and it gets it to where if you shoot, say someone shoots the trophy that they've always wanted, you can basically move it however you need to and put it in any position that you need to, and this is kind of a new thing for taxidermy, and I guess for the everyday consumer to have for their mounts in their house.
Yeah. A taxidermist, they're artists. I mean, they do great, great work, but they can only do so much. They can only turn your head, a certain amount of, a certain way you get a full range of motion. Obviously, depending on the size of your deer, like the size, if it's a really wide deer, you may have a little less movement there, but still you can turn him way more than you could with just a regular mount.
Right, right. Well, can you give us like a background of just like the complete get-go? Like, what did it take to get this going and then to get where you guys are right now?
So I don't know if you guys are familiar with Boss Buck Feeders. Tom Boyer owns Boss Buck, and Tom and I have been friends a while, and I actually called him a few years ago when I had the idea, which I gotta tell you, I struggled with throwing it out there to other people. It's kind of like your baby, and you think, well, I like it, but nobody else is going to like this.
right. Or someone's stealing your idea from you.
Right.
Well, yeah, there's that too. And so after wrestling with that, I figured, hey, I'm gonna call my buddy Tom. He's in the industry. He's been there and done that. Maybe he can point me in the right direction. I sent him a couple, and he really liked the idea. And he said, why don't we just partner with this? And we wrestled with that idea and figured out how that was going to work, and so we kind of partnered on it. And so he's really helping me get it in some of the box stores, and and that sort of thing, which has been really good for us. Mm-hmm. It takes a lot to get it in a Cabela's or a Shields or some of these other big companies, and he's really helped me out with that. So,
well, speaking of that, let's can you talk about where people can find this? We'll talk about that more in the beginning of the show. That way, people can already start thinking about where they're going to go to get it after the episode.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, obviously, fullrangesystems.com. You can get them from our website, but you can get them at Cabela's stores and online, Shields stores and online. And there's several taxidermists, you know, all over that are carrying them and starting to carry them. So if your local taxidermist doesn't have them, tell him he needs to get them.
Yeah, there you go. And that's the step after this, is we know a lot of the taxidermists in our area, and Mark Reif is not here in studio, but he is a lot. He's, I've already told him about him. He hasn't seen it yet in our studio, but that'll probably be something that Mark is going to carry for his customers, and we'll be sure that all the local taxidermists in our area have that option available for their customers as well. Because, you know, one thing that I was thinking about too, and this is Mark kind of made me think of this, because he puts spacers on the back of his mounts so they don't sit flat on the wall anyway. There's like a 1 or 2 inch gap. And his idea with that is, one, it's easier to hang, but it's air can get behind the mount and there's no moisture buildup back there between. If you have your mount hanging in a basement where some moisture can build up between the wall and your mount, moisture is the enemy for taxidermy. And this thing, you know, enhances that by 10, 20 times that, which is awesome, because you're going to have no moisture sitting behind your mount. A lot of guys have their mounts in the basement because their old ladies won't have them upstairs in the living area. So right. This is a really beneficial thing for the quality of your mount just in that aspect alone.
Yeah, and you can groom it too. Like, we did a YouTube video, Mark Reif did actually, about, you know, how to take care of your mount and things like that. Brushing it and dusting
it's
it.
It's going to make it so much easier.
It's going to make that 100 times easier, just being able to get in there and cleaner on up.
Well, you know? And what I like about it is it's a quality product and it's affordable. Like, you're spending all this money on your mount, you want to show it off nice. For what, right. 20, 25 bucks? Is that what the...
Yeah, the singles are 25.
Yep.
Yeah, doubles are 40, and the HDs around just under 40, 36.
And the cool thing is, even if, like, you have a fresh mount, you know, it's nice to have this option for it. Like, a fresh mount, I mean, like, one you just got back from the taxidermist. But even if you have your trophy room that you got a buck that you killed, if you're our buddy Doug Schmidt, his dad is still living off his primetime buck from 1985 that he killed that went 205. So bless his heart. Maybe he can get one of these hanging systems for it, and then he can really, you know, brag a little more for the next 20 or 30 years. You know?
There you go. Marv, pull out that checkbook.
Yep.
And
the thing is, too, you can move it any position every month, and it's going to look different.
That's a good point.
You know, people could be like, is that a different mount? You're like, no, that's the same one. I just moved it around a little bit.
Exactly. Yeah,
for sure. I mean, you know, different deer, they're like people. I mean, they're, you know, they got their own little cool aspects about them. And, you know, some deer have a really unique one side or the other. And the full range stuff really allows you to showcase, you know, what you want to. But then, you can change them at any time.
Yeah, that's a good point. Depending on who's coming over, you know, if you got somebody you don't really care about that's coming over, hey, position them wherever. But you got someone you want to impress coming over, you know, you got ladies coming over, you're gonna, you know, Netflix and chill, or Carbon TV
but now you
go ahead and move that rack just so it looks a little bit bigger.
Now you gotta decide what that position is, though. It's not just flat hanging on the wall anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the thing. Like, we hung this up here, and it's the deer that I have it on, it's sort of in the corner, and you can almost move it over and put it in the corner. So we have a really tight, small space studio here, so he's off to the side. He's not right in the way of where people are going to walk now. And normally, you're never going to hang a deer in the corner of a wall, because it really isn't possible before.
Yeah, well, speaking of that,
let's talk.
Uh-oh.
Yeah,
here we go.
Yeah. We got something new coming out. beginning of the year that you can actually mount it right into the corner.
Really? Yeah. Can we cover more on this, or does it have to wait?
Yeah, we may have to wait a little bit on that.
Will this be post-ATA?
I'll have them at ATA. They may not be available till probably soon after ATA.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Awesome. Yeah.
Well, we will be sure to let fill everyone in on that.
And we'll have to come check them out because we'll be
there. Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, the corner is the least used space in any room, you know?
Not if you're a bad kid like me.
Well, yeah, no, there's that. I mean, you can hang your kids on it, too. If you
want. So let's talk about all the different, each individual model, I guess, if you will, and then the main differences, and then the best way to utilize it or how to hang it and get the most bang out of your buck, if you will. The puns are endless here.
Yeah. Well, the single, obviously, is for one deer, one mount. Now, all of the hanging systems are made of steel. The plate that mounts to the deer and the plate that mounts to the wall is a 3/16 inch steel plate. I mean, I really wanted a bomb-proof type of product, you know. You kind of really have to run a tank over them to break them. Mm-hmm,
right.
I mean, you guys saw it. It's heavy enough.
Oh, yeah, and I'm a welder fabricator, so I know exactly these things are bulletproof.
It's good quality.
Yeah, good, yeah. So the doubles are really popular, obviously, because you can put two deer side by side.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can stagger them, almost stack them on top of each other. Again, depending on width and of the rack and all that. But the doubles will consolidate wall space. So I've put eight deer where you could only traditionally get five deer.
Okay.
So, you know, it saves space on your wall. Again, going back to the ladies, when they limit you to, you know, this is your wall and that's it, well, you know, you can get some more on there now. So
you got to start cramming.
Yeah, that's a great wild point. Point.
Yeah, the house that you pay for, you only get one wall. Well, it's kind of weird how that works out, huh?
It's amazing how it does work out that way.
Now, let me ask you, is this really what drove you to do it? I mean, come on. I mean, you know, I don't know if your significant other is getting ready to put you in the corner for some stuff that you're going to say, but...
No, I got to be honest. My wife, she's the best. She actually loves having animals in the house, so...
Oh, God bless her already.
I know, man. It's amazing. I talked about putting a few out in my shop, and she said, no, you know, I want them in the living room.
That's awesome.
Okay, well, good enough.
Hold on to her, because... It's sad to say, but most working class guys have wives that aren't really down with the taxidermy game, and they're not down to have 20 mounts in the living room. I have 7 in mine, and I don't have a big living room.
Now you can put 18 in there.
I could, and that might end up happening. We do have the double system here, and I'm looking above my TV. It's a little small spot of the wall that's like at a 45-degree angle. It's that flat spot where the TV goes, and I have one mount there. Well, I got my one mount back this year, and I'm like, man, I don't really know where to put it. Well, now I might put them both there and then put my other wall pedestal that I'm getting back from Mark Reif this year. I might put that in there as well. So it's expanded what I can do, and what I like about it is with the traditional hangers, I found myself looking at my deer going, well, I already have all these screws in the wall and studs. Do I want to take the screw out? Like, if I want to reposition the deer, like one deer might have a taller rack or a different style mount. I'm like, well, I can't put that deer there because the ceiling's too low and it won't fit. I'll have to put another hole in the wall. Where with these, I can just be like, oh, I'm just going to slide them over here and turn them and move. You know, if it's on a double, you can move the top one, turn them, and move them over and do the opposite of the other one. So,
yeah, right. It who knows what you're going to, you know, harvest next year or. You know, like when I was hanging deer in my house, I had them, this was several years ago, I had them, you know, separated just nice and neat and kind of offset. And then, like, the following year, I shot a nice buck I wanted to mount. I thought, well, crap, that screws up my whole little deal there. Now, like you said, now I got to pull one down and actually move three to make it look right again. But, yeah, so now you don't have to do that.
But the cool thing is about your product is only successful good hunters buy it. And that's not true.
What are you looking at me for?
Looking at Steve, I'm like, Steve, you might not have a use for it. I'm just kidding. But yeah. It's you know, you're going to have a lot of guys with crammed spots that are like, oh, I never heard about this. Like, this really opens up a lot of options for me. And I'm going on an elk hunt in September, hopefully, in Colorado. So hopefully... There's some options I'm hoping for a guy with some elk and bigger mounts.
Yeah, the HD system, it holds up to 60 pounds. Now, people ask me, oh, you can put an elk on it. Well, there's a lot of elk you can, absolutely, you can put on them. But some of the elk that are hitting the ground these days, pretty substantial animals.
Right.
Yeah, so don't shoot a monster, Kurt. Just yeah, shoot a cow elk.
Keep it around 300 or less. No, but I mean, you know what I mean. Like,
yeah.
Some of these gigantic 460s, you know, the weight distribution changes quite a bit. So I don't really say yes. You can put any elk on the HD system. But if it's 60 pounds or less, yeah, it'll go on there. I put caribou on them. I'm actually getting a caribou back. Well, not soon enough. I'm ready for him to get here, but he might be here by the end of the year. I don't know, but yeah, I'm going to put him on an HD system for sure.
Well, the thing is, too, it's not necessarily your product; it's also the wall. You know, it's
yeah.
So it's,
before we go any further,
there
all
we go.
The systems have to go into a wall stud. Don't just screw them into the sheetrock.
Right, because you got the leverage working against you there with the
being offset.
Yeah,
absolutely. So if you can catch a stud, you'll be solid.
Yeah, if you because the tools that you will need that, you know, obviously me and Kurt went through, you know, drill. If you own a drill, chances are you know how to find a stud. If you don't, call somebody who does. I mean, you guys are all working class. You know how to find it.
You don't need a drill if you can't find stuff.
Yeah, that's exactly. That's true. You know what we ended up doing, and this is just because, you know, one of the things that, because we were talking, Kurt is super particular how his deer sit on walls. And when we were lining that thing up, you know, we found the stud. I was like, dude, you got a torpedo level. And that was one of those things I was like, you know, we might want to get this level because any... To me, it feels like any little bit off, it's going to, like, throw the whole thing off. You know, if it's a quarter inch here, it's going to be, you know, X. I don't know. I'm not, like, good at, like, figuring out how far stuff's going to be off in the distance.
Yeah, right.
I'm not a geologist or whatever.
What does that mean? Okay. Any
a geologist works with rocks. I was hoping someone would have picked that up, but no one did. So I just slid that by.
Geologist.
Steve, you just bring it to a halt. You're good. But it was actually was really easy, man. I think people might look at it and be like, oh, that might be hard to line up. It's super easy.
I mean, was the back of it hard to line up? I haven't mounted one yet.
I just lined it up even with the hanger, or the mount that's in the back of my...
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
The wall mount that's already in the back of your taxidermy form.
And yeah, that's really the best way to do it is just eyeball the neck and head, and then eyeball the hanger that comes on the mount, and 9 times out of 10 you're going to be right there. But if you're not, what I tell people, so you can put 4 screws in the back of the plate that goes on the deer, just run 2 in it and then hang it up and just double check.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Right.
Yeah, and then you can pull it off and throw the other 2 in or adjust it accordingly. Yep.
Yeah, mine was first run. I put it on the back the back plywood on the form and slid it right on. And
yeah, but the first... Oh, you're talking that back.
Yeah, the back plate that goes on the mount.
Yeah, no, I was talking the wall. The first one we put on, it was a little bit higher than we anticipated.
Oh, yeah, I had it up higher. I didn't think about how the mount would be up higher when because of the way it slides in.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It worked out great.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, the pedestal mounts, you don't have as much room to adjust that plate up and down. There's still some room there, you know, that you can adjust it. But the regular shoulder mount, you know, there's plenty of room to move around the back of that plywood. And if you mount that plate low on the deer, then it actually sits higher. Mm-hmm. And then right. if you mount it up near the hanger, a lot of guys just pull that hanger off to get it out of the way. But if you mount it up there, it sits lower. So there's some, you know, a good 12 inches at least of adjustment.
Right. Yeah. And that's, you can customize whatever you need. That's what's cool. Like, you know, if you have that crammed of a spot, and speaking of which, what's the most you've seen in one spot with these, with the products or just in general, most shoulder mounts?
How many?
Yeah.
Gosh, I don't know. I was in a trophy room a couple of months ago, and I don't know. This wall was maybe 20 feet. I don't know. There was probably 30.
Good Lord.
It'd be fun to see if you had a wall that was like, you know, either completely studded out or you had like 3/4 inch plywood and you took these and to see how many mounts you could get cleanly in a certain area just to show how effective the product is to put like...
What, doe mounts or buck mounts?
Any just anything.
Well, it'd be cool to take a full wall, like a big wall that's already full, and put them all on double hangers and see how much space you can actually save.
Yeah, that would be really cool.
Yeah, well, I don't have that many deer.
Dude, if you do, you're going to have that thing looking like a high school football team photo. It's just everybody stacked up.
I mean, there's guys that have that many. For instance, there's a guy that I know that lives in northeast Illinois, Jeff Powles. He's a Boone and Crockett, Pope and Young measure. And I went in his basement. He's got like a rectangle-shaped basement. And he had, I don't know how many Pope and Young bucks just crammed on one wall. And he could almost probably... Maybe not quite double his space, but he could squeeze in a lot more with these.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He didn't have high ceilings, and it was just an average-sized basement. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I know my brother, he's got four nice bucks mounted, and he had two in his living room, and his wife said, that's it. The other two are going wherever else, but no more in here.
That's sad.
Yeah, being my brother... When she was gone, he took the double system and added those two together and left him room for one more in that same little area. So he's got three there. And what was funny was when she came home, she noticed it and she said, "You put that other deer up." And he said, "Yeah, but it looks cool, doesn't it?" And she said, "It really does. I like it." And so she started moving them around a little bit. She was like, "Yeah, this will work." So there you go.
That's encouraging. I thought you were going to say when she left, he moved her out.
Dude, that's the secret, man. You get the system, all right. You put as many deer heads in there, but you get what you want. But you let the ladies get what they want because now they can move it to wherever they think it's not creepy looking at me. Oh, move it over that way. You let them, position it. They're in there, but you let them position it. It's a win. Clark Cummings taught us that trick. Make win-win. It think it's their idea.
Yep.
That's it.
That is a good call. Tip of the day there.
So. Yeah. I've been at several shows where ladies will be standing there, you know, twiddling their thumbs, waiting on their husband. And they just kind of look over and they walk over and they say, "You know, what is this?" I tell them. And I've had several just call their husband over there and be like, "You need this. You need to get this."
Well, so, it makes it fun, though, too, now. You know what I mean? It's even for, like, kids. It's like, oh, you can move. Like, not that you want to move it around, but.
It's like a puzzle. In a way.
It really is. I like them, man. And one thing I want to point out is people might think, like, it's sort of sketchy to move your mount around on the wall. It's not at all. It's really solid. It's smooth. I don't feel like I'm really careful with my mounts. They're my babies. Mm-hmm. And I didn't feel at all like the mount was going to slip out, which would be damn near impossible. Unless, I mean, an earthquake could happen. This thing is not going to fall out of that bracket. And the, there's the set screw also on there, so you can lock it in whatever position you're in. So if your house is built in 1900 like mine and everything's crooked, you're good.
Well, going back to that plate on the wall and getting it level or vertically level, that the set screw really, because if you don't get it perfectly straight up and down, that swing arm will drift, you know, to one side or the other, but the set screw won't allow it to. So if you're a little off, as long as you don't see it and can tell it, and you know, you can lock the set screw down and you're good.
Full range hanging systems, we got your mistakes covered.
That is awesome. So man, I want to talk about the corner thing now. That's killing me. You had to bring that up at the beginning.
Well, yeah, it's kind of self-explanatory. I mean, the design, I guess you'll just have to wait on that. But
no, we'll wait.
Picturing it right now.
We can talk about that at ATA. We'll discuss that there. Or, I mean, within what we can, what information we can give out.
Yeah, perfect. No, that'll be fun.
So you got all the guys covered from, unless you kill 500-inch elk, you can't do
it.
But bigger game, shoulder mounts is covered. All whitetails are covered, everything in between. What else, like what other tips as far as installing one for the first time would you point out to kind of put listeners at ease for maybe people who are worried about putting more holes in their wall or whatever, just something to kind of explain to them a little more that it's not a difficult thing to do.
Yeah, it's really not. The single system, for example, there's three parts. There's the plate that goes on the wall, there's the swing arm, and then there's the plate that goes on the taxidermy head. You separate those parts. You take the wall plate, find your stud, obviously. Two screws will put it into the stud, and you put your swing arm in that plate, and then you mount the other plate to the back of the deer with another four screws. Really, that's it. And then you hang, you hang your deer onto the swing arm, and then you just play around and find the position that you want.
And everything, all the hardware is provided, by the way.
Hardware is provided. Yeah, all you need is a drill, or if you're really awesome, you just use a screwdriver.
Yeah, the working man.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
Now, what would happen per se? You know, you get the product. Say maybe a bag of screws is missing, or anything's missing. Something's not lining up. How do you handle claims like that? Just so the listeners here,
we tell them to screw off.
Yeah, go get your own screws.
Yeah, Lowe's Hardware. No, you can contact us on our website, and it's not one of those sites that nobody ever gets the email. I actually get the email, so when you email the site, you're emailing me, and I'll be happy to send whatever you need or help you out in any way I can.
All right. Well, let's want to test you out a little bit. You know, you're putting this claim out there. I want to get to know you, Mr. Kaiser.
Be prepared.
We're gonna get a little personal, but you did say something that that I've been curious about. I even wrote it down. You shot a caribou.
Yeah, I did.
What was the what was that? Yeah, can we hear that story if you don't mind, if we kind of move in that direction?
I don't mind at all.
All right.
We'll talk hunting the rest of the time.
Sure.
Go for it. I'm curious. I'm like, man, this guy got a caribou, that bastard.
Yeah, we all looked at each other. When you said caribou, we're all looking at each other like, yeah, buddy, we got to hear this.
Well, so I figured before I got any older and my knees got any worse, I wanted to do a sheep hunt. This is going to get worse, actually, for you. So I went sheep hunting last year up in the McKenzie Mountain Range, Northwest Territories. And, you know, you might as well buy a caribou tag.
Yeah, why not?
When in Rome.
Dude, it's like a turkey tag, right? $5.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fall turkey. All right. Yeah.
And then you get a wolf tag, right?
Oh, with it?
Or do you you know, you purchase it as well, but
I was hoping it was a BOGO. Buy one, get one.
No, I wish. But, you know, while you're there, because I probably won't ever get to go back. So, anyway, had a sheep tag, caribou, and a wolf backpack hunt for a week and a half. And the first evening, we spot caribou. And we decided, hey, we got it. This is the best chance. The airstrip was about a mile and a half away. Best time to kill a caribou if you can. So we put a pretty good stalk on this bull, and I had to shoot him four times, man. I'm not – I don't know if that sounds awful or not, but he just would not go down. But he finally did.
Is this the first time you'd ever seen a caribou?
Very first time, yeah.
That's gotta be wild.
I've never seen one. I can't imagine. Like, is it comparable to an elk in size or what?
I would say no. I think elk are bigger.
Oh, really? I didn't picture that. Like, I thought comparable or a little bigger, but
yeah. But the one I killed at least was not as big as an elk. But my uncle went with me, and he kind of said the same thing. He said, "Wow, that's a lot bigger than elk, isn't it?" And I said, "Well, no, not really." And elk are big animals.
I've never been up to, like, real close up to one, so I wouldn't know. But
to either one,
yeah.
Yeah, no, they're both large animals. They're pretty impressive.
Did you Did you see any wolves or anything when you were up there too, or was it just the caribou and you guys packed out and got out of there?
No, so that was day one.
Oh, so day one you got your caribou.
Okay, yeah, all right.
That was day one. We packed, quartered him up, packed him to the airstrip, and bush plane came in, got him. We kept a little bit of meat so we could eat it.
And live, yeah.
And live. next morning, we packed up all of our camp and took off and hiked all day. Kind of giving you the quick version of this thing. On day five, I shot my ram.
Damn, you're just piling them up.
Yeah, good Lord. We're just getting excited.
No. Shot my ram, left the mountain at 10 p.m., got lost, got back to camp.
Hold on, you can't say got lost.
Yeah, just brush over that. I got lost in the territories, man. I'm like, what?
We got lost. There's no other way around it.
Like, for how long? How long were you lost for?
Probably for an hour and a half.
Nah, that's not that bad.
Yeah, I was like, oh, yeah. I mean, you're still lost. It's still
scary,
intimidating.
Dude, that's the scariest hour and a half ever, but yeah, hell, you know.
Yeah, well, yeah, so 5:30 in the morning, we made it back to camp. I tore my knee up that night. Everything was downhill, and we're loaded down pretty good. So spent the next day recovering, laying around, skinning out, you know, the rest of the sheep, and packed up camp, left again. On the way, shot a wolf.
Good Lord.
No way.
I know, man. Like, who? I shot this wolf at, like, 50 yards, and I may be wrong, but who does that? Like, we literally walked up on three wolves. You just don't do that.
What color wolf?
Solid white.
Wow, really? So what did – I guess I got so many questions about wolves right now. Like, how big was it when you got up, if you had to estimate?
He was probably, I don't know, 5 foot long, 4.5 foot long.
Dang.
Body.
Oh, like how – I always picture a wolf to be like 150 pounds plus. Is that accurate?
Yeah, they're big. Yeah. They're big. This was an old wolf. All his most of his teeth were actually gone. So I don't know that he would have made it through that harsh winter. Of course, it's pretty harsh up there in the mountains.
Right.
So So now we're packing out a ram, meat, ram hide, wolf hide, and I wanted to keep his skull, so we're packing it out too. On a tore up knee.
Yeah.
We hiked for the next 2 days to make it to a lake where we could get picked up, and finally made it.
What an adventure.
2 days to walk somewhere. That's insane.
Okay, so yeah. I got a question for you, Nick. Would it have been as cool of a story if you wouldn't have messed up your knee?
I agree, totally.
I was going to say, do you wish it never happened, or are you like, hey, I'm glad that happened?
I'm glad it happened. People ask me that. Wish you wouldn't have gone now. I'm like, I'd do it again. I mean, right. I came home and had surgery, and I'd do it again tomorrow if I could.
Well, I mean, it sounds more badass. You know, you walk 2 days on a bum knee.
I know.
I would have told everyone that the wolf got your knee, and yeah. You had to fight him off, and then as he was running out, you cracked him, and it was all good.
Yeah. Well, that's my next story.
Yeah, there you go.
The next podcast you do, that's how you have to tell it. So what do you end up doing for taxidermy-wise for all these? Are they all on hangers right now, or what's...
That'd be dope if they had the... like a triple hanger and just have them all like right next to each other just because they're on one trip.
Yeah, I know. I hadn't gotten any of them back yet, so.
Oh, yeah, you have. You're still waiting on your caribou. Is that the game plan for all of them? Or what kind of mount did you do on the wolf?
Well, I did a full body mount on the wolf.
Oh, yeah, you got to.
Yeah, that's what I told my wife. I got to. But, I mean, again, she was cool with it. She likes them. I actually did my ram full body mount too.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Damn.
Yeah. So the only animal out of that trio going on a system is the caribou.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't blame you though. I would do probably a full mount on I don't know. I had to decide in the moment, but I'd have to do a full mount on the wolf for sure.
No, oh, you dude, have without to. A doubt.
Just because when people would walk in, and be like, oh shit. Like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I shot him. He tried to take my knee, but I took his life.
That's right. Yeah, he took a chunk out, but I got it.
Remember that bastard that got your hand? I got his head.
It's like I always make those references. Like, Steve always brings this back up. One time we did a podcast, I don't know, 50 episodes ago or more.
I know exactly where you're going with this.
And I always thought... What was it, a bear? I always thought it'd be cool, like, if something that I hunted gave me a scar, but I killed it.
No, your thing is, like, you thought it would be okay. Like, the way you want to go out is you're in a fight with a bear. Right, the bear kills you, but you kill the bear. So, like,
when they find you, you're both laying there.
Yeah, dead, just right next to each other.
Well, that's my option if I have to die, but, like, if I could just get, like, a cool scar.
So you don't think you have to die?
Well, I might make it out.
I mean, this is your lie. You can tell it however you want. You know?
Right? Well, if I'm dead, there's no lying about the story. But if I get a scar from something, I can be like, yeah
exactly.
Goddamn bear, got him.
Wouldn't that be?
Yeah.
Dude, that'd be wild if you got like slashed by a cub. Dude, you're still like, yeah, I got attacked by a bear and lived.
Dude, a bear's a bear, especially if it's a brown bear.
Yeah, bear's a bear. That's right.
But that's the thing. Like, I plan on. Hopefully I kill an elk in September if all that works out, and then I think the year after I might try and do... My goal is now is, like what you said earlier, I'm not getting any younger, and I'm young enough now where I can do this type of shit. So if I can kill an elk on public land and really hustle in, go in deep and get one, and then maybe next year go for like a black bear, because that's like a bucket list hunt for a lot of us. And you have a lot of black bears where you live, don't you?
Yeah, we do. As
road
a matter
trip.
Of fact,
yeah, road trip.
Road trip.
Yeah. Yeah, no, let's do it. There's a lot of big bears too, the eastern side of the state.
Okay, why is that? Because I always think when I think black bears, I think Canada. But then I see like Jim Shockey's out in North South Carolina and they say they have some of the biggest black bears in the world there.
Yeah.
Maybe they like the view.
Yeah. The view. We'll pack on some weight around these parts for sure. I don't know. I don't know if it was Jim or his daughter, but one of them shot like 700 pound or six. I mean, it was close to 700 pound black bear.
That's huge.
What's average? I guess. I don't even know where to guess.
I'm not a big bear hunter, but I think around 350.
That's a tubby bastard then. That's 700 pounds.
He looked mutated.
Oh, dude, he was getting in the honeypot. It was Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah,
I saw that reference register in Steve's brain before he said it.
How difficult it is for out of state residents to come like hunt North Carolina? I mean, I wouldn't assume it's that difficult, but I mean, you know, they're probably going to want to get some of that paper if you know out of state residents are trying to come in and get them big bears.
Yeah, no, that's. I mean, you don't draw for anything, and it's just a matter of getting your license, and you can get them, you know, over the counter. Hmm. I think it might be around $250.
Oh, that's not too bad.
Them tag. Yeah.
I always wondered that, like, places where black bears live. And I always think Canada again when I think black bears, but now thinking about east, going out east is, I would just assume that everyone that hunts around where there's black bears, that everyone hunts black bears like they hunt whitetails. Like, it's just a thing that people do, but it doesn't sound like that's the case.
You think people push black bears?
Yeah, they do. I think they do. They run them with dogs and stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a stupid joke. I didn't know that.
That's a common thing, I believe.
Ew, that's nuts.
Yeah, I'd say the majority of people that bear hunt in North Carolina, unless they go with an outfitter or something, they run dogs and get them that way. I've never done it, but a lot of people do with dogs. And I guess maybe two or three years ago, they passed a law where you could bait bears, where before you couldn't.
Really?
So that was a problem with deer hunters that you know, with bait stations out. Obviously, the bears would come. But anyway, they passed that. You can bait bears. So you can actually kind of set up on them like you do, you know, a whitetail.
Man, that's I'm going to look into that out there then, because I was automatically thinking Canada, you know, but
I'm telling you, road trip needs to happen.
Yeah, dude, you think about it, man. You go to like some sketchy bear outfitter out there, and you're like, he's like, all right, man, we'll get the bear hunting dogs out, and you look, and it's just like a bunch of Jack Russell Terriers, and you're like, what is this dude thinking? Give me some meaty dogs. Give me some pit bulls or Great Danes.
Yeah, and then the banjo music starts.
So yeah, I think it's time to get out of North Carolina.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if guys ran black bears with Jack Russell Terriers. I wouldn't. I heard black bears are pretty, in the beginning, maybe Canada. I don't know about North Carolina, but they're pretty docile. Is that true, or is it kind of a known thing that bears are scary out there?
Man, I don't know, to be honest with you. I haven't been around a lot of bears.
Have you killed one out there?
I've killed one, yeah. It was not a big bear. It was not a 700-pound bear.
Do people, is it a common thing out there that people that hunt bears, are, you know, use them for the meat and stuff, or is it more just a management type thing?
I really don't know. You hear different things about bear meat. I've had it, and I think it's great. And I've had other people say they wouldn't touch it, but so I don't know. I guess it's whatever you're into. But we had some bear meat a couple of weeks ago in hunt camp. A guy brought some, and my gosh, it was good. It's really good.
See, I hear that too. I hear guys say that they don't typically eat it, and then I had someone give me a bear steak once, and I have no idea what the hell I'm doing when it comes to cooking bear. So, and I don't know how old it was and how he handled the meat. And I'm assuming I messed it up when I cooked it, because I don't know anything about black bear meat. And I didn't know that trichinosis is a big thing until after the fact, like with pork and stuff. It's the same thing with bears. And I cooked it like a deer steak. And I don't know. I don't know if being in the freezer kills any trace of trichinosis or what. I don't know anything about it, but How was caribou and the sheep or and I would ask, I would eat the wolf.
I would totally 100%
would have tried it.
Dude, wolf backstraps. Oh, for sure.
Yeah, try everything once.
Just tastes like carcass.
Yeah, it tastes like carcass.
You know what I mean? Just like a dead, rotten caribou, I feel like it would taste like.
Yeah, well, I didn't try the wolf.
Am I messed up for saying I'd eat the
wolf?
No,
hell no, dude.
No, I'd try it.
Dude, any like top predator, I would totally eat. If I shot a lion, eat that.
Well, I heard guys say mountain lion's good.
I would eat the hell out of a mountain lion.
I would try a mountain lion.
It seems different, though, right? Because, like, we're, like, as a society, we're close with canines. So to say I'll eat a wolf, that kind of is like...
Well, you're close to cats, too. I mean, that's the same thing as a mountain lion.
Right? That's true. That's true.
Yeah, but it's cats.
See, come on.
See, that's the thing. That's come the thing. On. Like, canines have a different relationship with us. So it seems like, whoa, did you eat a wolf? I'm like, well, I'd try it.
Yeah.
I mean, but think about it. I mean, we're humans, but there's some humans that you're like, eh, they did some pretty terrible stuff. They can get the electric chair. So it's that same thing with wolves. Yeah, puppies are cute, but yeah, these wolves can die. And I don't feel that bad.
How was the caribou meat?
It was really good. Caribou meat was good. Nothing compares to sheep meat.
Really?
As in, it's that good?
Yes.
How so? I guess... Is it lean, or I don't know what to expect.
It's hard to explain. You would think that it would be probably the toughest meat ever because of where these animals live and
what they eat.
You know what they eat and what they have to do to just stay alive, climbing mountains and all that stuff. But it's tender, and the taste of it. I mean, it's better than anything I've ever had.
Kind of like lamb, just. But wild lamb in a way? That's what I had to compare it to.
Oh, dude, now you're getting me hungry for gyros. You didn't have any gyro supplies when you're up there. I got to start a fire so I can get the flatbread warm and whip up the
spinning wheel.
we did carry a little can of spices, so we would just put some meat on a stick and throw some spices on it and hold it on fire and eat it that way, but it's kind of got a sweet taste to it. It's odd, but it's hard to explain how it tastes. People ask me, you know, well, what does it taste like? It's like, well, meat, really good.
Was that the other than like killing a wolf or you know this whole experience? Not to get too personal, but was that the manliest thing you'd ever done? Just camping out, just spicing like you're getting like a shish kebab and.
Oh yeah, no, hands down. The manliest thing I've ever done.
with a bum knee.
With a bum knee.
Well, that just plays into it.
Yep.
That's what inspired you. Just came home and started welding and making these hanging systems. I got to keep this up.
Yeah. And that was really a trip of a lifetime. I mean, I had some pretty big God moments, you know, where things kind of hit you like you're pretty small in this world when you're sitting, you know, 8,000 feet up and you have really no way out until you make it to this lake. I mean, there were no airstrips between, you know, where we got dropped off and then where we were going. So we had to make it to the destination point.
Dude, it's like a video game, except you can't pause this one. Like, you have to complete it.
you can't really tap out and be like, man, you know what? I'm done. I just come on back and get me. I mean, we had sat phones and all that, but we had the outfitter flew over and dropped a box of salt for us so we could salt capes and stuff.
Oh, really?
Oh, nice.
But that was it. And then just to see the plane come, it was like, man, that feels good just seeing a plane. And then it leaves again. It's like, that didn't last long.
Yeah, like some bad weather could really put you in a rough situation out there.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, we woke up one morning and I think we had 5 inches of snow on the tent. And you talk about manly things. I never dreamed I would tent camp in the snow, you know.
Yeah, I imagine you never felt like you could get comfortable is what I would expect.
Yeah,
well, when I woke up, my my head and face, it was numb. And I had worked my way off my pad, and my face was like buried in the corner of the tent. And so I had like 5 inches of snow like laying on my head. So it was all numb. And I woke up pretty cold and had to start a fire. Something about a fire, you know, it's just
refreshing.
It's just like mankind comfort. I mean, that's like what it all boils back down to, is a good fire is safety and.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's right. That's the truth.
Survival, really.
Yeah,
you know, and I made that sound like I know what the fuck I'm talking about, but I've never been to I've been to Canada, but I've never been like in the wilderness in Canada or like Alaska or like out west where I'm like,
yeah, the only fires we have is when we're in Kurt's backyard throwing used motor oil on there, seeing all the sicko up in trees.
It's like in Illinois, you're never hunting. Like, man, if I don't make a fire now, I'm really going to be hosed. You know, it's like, I'll hurry up. Hit the auto start of my truck. By the time I get there, it'll be warm.
Yeah,
warm
that's
enough.
Wild. Like, you had to use that fire to survive. Like, you know, we throw bonfires just to get chicks to hang out with us, man.
Yeah. Yeah, well, up until then, you know, that was my only fire experience, too. It was in a barrel, and like I said, when you got ready, you walked 20 yards back to your warm home and went to bed.
Exactly. Man, that's got to be a whole new experience like that. I mean, that's... Yeah, like you said, you got those God moments where all of a sudden, you know, you got a whole new appreciation for life. You're like, dude, maybe that utility bill ain't really that much a pain in my ass anymore. It comes once a month, but at least I don't have to wake up with 5 inches of snow on my face.
I never thought about a real nature experience like that making you appreciate your bills.
I haven't either.
Think about it,
dude. I would have never went there or thought of that.
I mean, hell, dude.
It'll make you appreciate a lot of things.
And the thing is, too, for everyone listening, is like a lot of people that have had success this season. I'm cutting back to the hanging systems here. You can get these now and have this ready and mapped out for your mounts that are coming back.
Yep.
I just made a hard transition there back to the product, but this is something I thought of. Like, as you said, you haven't got your mounts back. That's something to be thinking about now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, for sure. The other thing is, I mean, they work great with existing mounts. So if you want to take up, you know, your 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or whatever, and just give them a total makeover, you can get them and do that with them. But yeah, for new mounts coming back, yep, it's a good idea to start planning. And I mean, there's this thing called Christmas rolling around.
Mm-hmm. I've heard.
You know,
yeah, that's true. I mean, well, perfect example is the buck that we put this system on, the single system. I shot this deer when I was 15. It's the first buck I ever killed with my bow, and he's been in my house flat on the wall since I got him, and that's fine. But now I can move him around, and
it looks like a totally different deer now.
It does actually, you know, because I have him pivoted. He's turning hard to the right. And
he's looking right at the door. So
yeah, we did that on purpose. I love that.
So when you walk in the studio, he's looking right at you.
But it's one of those things. It's not that I lost appreciation for that deer, because I always have that memory and stuff like that. But it just puts a fresh angle on it. And, you know, instead of moving it into a different room, I can keep him in the studio, continue to look at him. But just I can move him 2 degrees every day and start over when he gets all the way over to one side and move him back the other way.
Yeah. No, you're right. It's just really neat, like you said, to go into a room and leave it one way for, I don't know, you know, a few weeks, and then go just rotate them a little bit around, and it totally changes the look of not only your deer but kind of your room in general. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, so when you're working the grind, that same boring ass job that you go to every day, at least you get to come home to something new.
Yep.
I mean, unless you got a lot of girlfriends, then you can do that too. But you know, it is really cool. Just what me and Kurt were putting together, it was super simple to put together. Everything went really well, and now it's like, hey, dude, let's move this out of the way. It's super convenient and works out really, really well.
And not to mention too, is Nick, I know you want to bring this up, and I'm thinking of it while you said that, is if you have more than one system, you just pull the mount out and switch it on a different bracket. Just
move the deer around.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, it's so much easier to do that than to you know, the traditional, you know, another screw in the wall and then hang it that way. You can just pull one off, grab the other one, put it on. I know Jeff Lindsay recently did a little video that he was pulling one of his mounts off of a single system because that particular deer, and apparently he had shot another buck on the same farm on the same, maybe the same year. So he was mounting them together on a double system just to kind of say, yep, you know, I killed those two right there in the same year or whatever. So kind of neat. Yeah, I mean, use your imagination. You can use them a lot of different ways.
Yeah, the possibilities are endless.
That too, and me and Eric and Doug were just talking about this last weekend. I like what we called it the QDMA mount, where the buck and the doe are next to each other. It looks like their logo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, that'd be a cool thing to do, too, on that double system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I always thought about that. Getting a doe mounted, but like, you shoot so many does. Like, maybe a Sam, my wife kills her first deer this year. Going to try and get her hunting this weekend.
Or if, like, a buck ran out and you drop it, and then a doe comes out and you drop that one. So, like, kind of keep them together.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Yeah, that's cool.
Or you shoot two does back to back, and you're like, dude, that was awesome.
Not
you never know. I'm just trying to sell product for you, you know. But I think it's definitely for working class men and women. You know, you ain't got the biggest house, but you work your ass off and you hustle and you kill nice deer, and you want to have them, dude. This is absolutely perfect. It'll save you some space, make it look nice, keep the missus or Mister happy.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely worth checking out.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, guys.
No, thank you, man. Go ahead and shout out where everyone can find you online and social media and stuff like that, and we'll link that into the description of the episode as well.
Okay, yeah, fullrangesystems.com is the website, and Full Range Hanging Systems, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Yep, check us out.
I'm hoping we covered everything for you that you wanted to cover about the product now. I can't wait until ATA to see the new products for the following year, and then hell, we'll get together at ATA and talk about that too. So everyone, check them out. Definitely worth it, worth the money. I'm loving it so far, so we appreciate you sending these out before the podcast, and we will make sure everyone in the studio gets to take a good look at it. It's hard not to now. So
good deal. Well, thank you guys. I appreciate you letting me chat with you.
All right, man, stick around on the phone here. Steve, Eric, you got anything else to add?
Nope.
All right. Check out workingclassbowhunter.com. We're getting all the stuff in our store back in stock. Check that out. And next week, we have a giveaway coming with WinPro as well, is going to be on. And we're going to have some more giveaways coming up when we get closer to Christmas. So just kind of keep listening to the podcast episodes and keep an eye on our social media.
Oh, I do got one thing to add. If you're hearing this, make sure if you're hearing this, you might be almost out of luck. But the Killing Hats, we did a limited run on those. They're the Camo Richardsons. If you still got time, go pre-order one. If not, eh.
Okay.
I'm going to need one.
we'll have to get them out. We'll get some goodies out to you. But thanks, everyone, for tuning in. We love you. Go shoot your bow.
In wild country, rules were not created by man. Don't miss Wild Country, Wednesdays from 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern. Presented by Primos. Speak the language. Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.